Today on Current State, we have a special live public poetry announcement. The world-renowned poet Carl Phillips will be on MSU's campus tomorrow to give a talk and a reading as part of the month-long celebration of poetry at the Residential College in the Arts and Humanities. Carl Phillips is about as decorated a poet as they come. Among his accolades, two of his poetry collections have been finalists for the National Book Award, and he served as a chancellor for the Academy of American Poets from 2006 to 2012. Carl's also a professor of English and African and Afro-American Studies at Washington University in St. Louis, where he joins us by phone. Hello, Carl Phillips.
Good morning.
Good morning. Before your poetry career really took off, you were a high school Latin teacher, and you managed to rise to become a chancellor of the Academy of American Poets. That is quite a progression. Can you take us through how that happened?
It's a little dizzying. I guess I just was writing poems, and somewhere along the line, a poet was visiting the high school and saw some of my poems, suggested I try to get some of them published, and I don't know, suddenly I was going to the writing program at Boston University, and then my first book won a contest, and I ended up with this job here in St. Louis. It's supposed to be a visiting 3-year job, and now it's been 20 years.
Oh, my. Well, it sounds dizzying, but it sounds really gratifying.
It is. I'm grateful every day for it, actually. It's very exciting to do something that I love, and apparently it's my job.
Was it a surprise to you to find that your work had such an audience?
Yes, I think of poetry, mine at least, as being very private, and so there's something exciting but strange when it seems to resonate with a larger audience.
Well, that intimacy is a big part of your work too, both physical and emotional. Mm-hmm. Why is the body such a focus in your poetry?
I think maybe because, we all have them, obviously, and I think that it's difficult to be in a body, and I'm interested in how we're told we should behave, but then how our bodies seem to want us to behave, which sometimes the two come in conflict. So, and I think that's something many people can relate to.
Well, we've got this brain that tells us all kinds of things, and we've got this body that mm-hmm. that has a hard time processing a lot of what the brain keeps telling us to do. Is that a part of it as well?
That is, and then the trouble that can lead to, and the moral quandary about it. So I find it fascinating.
Your work does contain a lot of questions. Is this a process of discovery for you, writing poetry?
Yes, I think of writing a poem as a kind of wrestling with unresolvable issues, and yet there's this desire to try to resolve, big issues like love, desire, sorrow, loss.
What sort of things motivate you to commit to writing a poem? Do public events, does the tragedy that just happened yesterday in Boston, is something like that apt to inspire you to write?
It isn't immediately, but the situation in Boston, which is where I'm from originally, is something that at least makes me start thinking about the randomness of violence and the ways in which innocence can be struck down. And that will sometimes generate a poem which won't end up having a bomb or a marathon in it, but it will be something that has come off of my thinking about that event.
Have you spent much time in Boylston Street and Copley Square?
A lot of time. In fact, right at the finish line area many times. And there used to be a bookstore there that I frequented. And so it's very strange this morning to see in the paper the picture of the street, the site. And
the Boston Public Library jumped out at me. We were out there for 8 years. And to see the library building right across from where where the bombing took place. How do you know when a poem is finished? Are you apt to revisit it with a mind toward tinkering with it again? And when do you know when it's done?
It will sound a little mysterious. I just know. I just have a sense that it's shut itself down, and And that's very exciting. That doesn't mean there's not revision then in terms of line breaks or tinkering with words, but I feel as if I've come to the end of something. I tell my students that you know in the way that you know when you're in love.
Okay. There's just a completeness to it. Is that close to it?
Yes, and a feeling that something is finished, not the issue itself maybe that you were wrestling with, but at least there's been a temporary closing off of something.
In an interview, you said, quote, "Poetry is a reflection of the sensibility of a particular mind." And from what I've read, it seems like you may have to remove yourself from the world, maybe, to enter into that particular mind. Are you creatively fed by things like writing retreats or readings or teaching?
Not the first two, not writing retreats or, what was the second one?
Readings.
readings, no. I am more often fed by silence, privacy in the natural world, and strangely enough, certain routines, walking my dog, things like that, that, I don't know, seem to enable the mind to go on its own direction for a while, and that's where I'll stumble into an idea. But I do find that teaching is stimulating. There's something about being exposed to different ideas and trying to present them to students, and that gets me thinking for my own work.
So there is there's a dimension of solitude in it, and there is a dimension of community in it as well.
Yes, and I think the real community part happens later when you find yourself sharing the poems, and with luck, someone relates to them in some way.
Well, you've agreed quite graciously to recite one of your poems here for us this morning. Tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear here.
It's the title poem of my new book. It's called Silver Chest, and I like to think of it as sort of a belated love poem, let's say.
Silver Chest, a belated love poem.
Sure.
Okay.
Silver Chest. Unafraid is what we were, I think, and then afraid, though it mostly seemed otherwise. I opened my eyes, I saw, I closed, I shut them. The usual morning glories twist up through banks of gone wild by now holly. Crickets for song, morphos for their glamour, which is quiet, blue and quiet. You, the dark that nothing, not even the light, displaces. You, who have been the single leaf that won't stop tossing among the others. For you. The end.
That was very beautiful. Thank you very much for reciting that.
Sure, thank you.
Poet Carl Phillips will be on the MSU campus tomorrow. He'll be giving a talk at 3 p.m. at Snyder Hall, room C201. And tomorrow night at 7 p.m., he'll be reading selections of his work in the Arca Theater, which is also in Snyder Hall. Carl Phillips, a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks for joining us today, and
good
luck.
Thank you so much.